The Holy Gospel according to Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. My husband Alan and I bought a car recently. I hate buying cars. But we had to, since the kids' car had finally kicked the bucket on the third child. Buying a car threw me all out of sorts. We had done our research and we had prepared for the trip to the dealer, but it had been a really long time since we had bought a car. And I had forgotten all of the decisions that had to be made immediately. We had to decide about that car on that day, because if we didn't, that car might be gone. We had to decide if we wanted to finance or not. And of course, there was a special deal going on that day at that dealership for that car. And we had to decide if we wanted an extended warranty or whether we wanted a service package. Right there and right then, all those decisions had to be made immediately. We all have to make immediate decisions, big decisions like cars or houses or committing to college or a job, but also small decisions like saying yes to an invitation or what to choose at a restaurant for dinner or even whether to discipline a child. Immediacy doesn't always feel good. It can be really uncomfortable. But yet Mark's gospel is filled with immediacy and urgency. The first 13 verses of Mark's gospel include a prophet coming in from the wilderness to shout repent, the baptism of Jesus, and 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. All of that in 13 verses. And today we begin with verse 14. Jesus begins his ministry by calling disciples. And in 7 verses, the word immediately is used twice. Jesus demands their attention. Simon and Andrew dropped their nets and followed him immediately. Jesus then called James and John, and they too drop their nets and follow immediately. No explanations, no stopping by the house to let mom or the wife and kids know that they're heading out with Jesus. No packing up a suitcase with a toothbrush and clean undies. The decision to follow Jesus was made immediately, and they were off. Just like that. If you're familiar with the story of Jonah, and we read just a tiny little piece of it this morning, there is a real sense of immediacy in that story too. God doesn't give up on anyone, ever. So the prophet Jonah was called to tell the Ninevites that God had seen how wicked they were. God knows what they're doing and doesn't like it. God's call to Jonah was sort of like calling me to tell North Korea's Kim Jong-un that God sees what he's up to. Jonah ran from God, and I suspect I would have done the same. But God doesn't give up on Jonah or the Ninevites, and he calls again. And God makes sure that this time Jonah is listening. Jonah delivers God's message to the Ninevites. And he says, and this is all he says, is 40 days more and Nineveh will be overthrown. 8 words. That's it. That's all Jonah says to the Ninevites. Immediately, the Ninevites turn from their evil ways and believe in God. That's really fast. I will never, ever underestimate the power of God to render immediate change in someone's life. Instant conversions are a powerful testament to trusting completely in the wild and sometimes uncontrollable power of the Holy Spirit. In the ambiguities of our lives, what a blessing and a gift it is when things are immediately clear. My faith, though, didn't quite begin this way. I didn't have one single instance in my life when I immediately believed. Many of us may be cradle Christians or maybe even cradle Lutherans, and our faith may have been with us as long as we know. Sure, we've had our ups and downs, our doubts and our joys, but somehow, despite everything, God has always been with us in our lives. There's been nothing immediate about our faith, or is there? Perhaps the immediacy of Christ in my life has nothing to do with what I have done, but with God has done. When I was baptized, God embraced me immediately and completely, urgently even. God didn't just begin to love me a little bit at a time, a little bit more each year. Instead, I received all of God's love immediately. And that's an immediacy I can embrace. But it's really only the beginning. There's another word that's bopping around in these texts that I want to call out today. And that word is repent. When I'm asked to define repent, I can say that repent means to turn around, to turn towards God. Repent can sometimes take on a negative meaning for me, though. Repent sometimes is that hairy, locust-eating John the Baptist coming out of the wilderness and screaming to all the unbelievers, "Repent!" Repent is also pointing out when I've done something wrong, when I'm messing something up in my life and know that I really do need to turn back toward God. Did you notice in the Jonah text when the Ninevites turned from their evil ways toward God? They repented. Did you notice that God, too, did something interesting in the Jonah text? God, too, turned around. God changed God's mind. God repented. Listen again to that text. God changed his mind about the calamity that he said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. God granted mercy to the Ninevites. If God repents, if God turns around, can't I? For you see, repenting is not really beating myself up for something wrong or being afraid of a locust-eating man who is shouting at me. Repenting instead is hearing the call, like Simon and Andrew, James and John, and Jonah. A call to leave my old life, sure, but more subtly, perhaps for those of us who have been cradle Christians, a call to see God in a new and a different way, and then to respond to that call. The book of Jonah ends with Jonah sitting under a bush talking with God. Jonah is very unhappy. God has revealed to Jonah his mercy and love for everyone, even those we don't expect, even those we don't want God to love. God loves even a Jonah who has run from him, and God loves even the repenting Ninevites. And God now calls Jonah to love the same, to turn from his hatred of the Ninevites, to love others just like God does. But Jonah can't yet accept the wideness of God's love. Jonah can't yet turn. The story of Jonah is unfinished, as are our stories. While we immediately become a child of God, this is only the beginning. Becoming a disciple is both a moment, an immediate moment, and a lifetime. We are called to a life of repentance, a life of seeing and hearing and experiencing God in new ways, then turning, and then responding. Today we have the honor and the privilege to remember Florence Rushing. She was claimed immediately as a child of God. And then she nurtured that lifelong commitment God made to her in baptism. Florence's life was one of continual turning towards God, over and over, 95 years of turning to hear and respond to God's will and God's call. I'm told that Florence spent many of her working years supporting a business. She was the one woman whiz at doing the payroll and the books. And I'm told that she pretty much ran the place. And I can imagine Florence doing that. The business she supported provided background music for offices. Perhaps it was the precursor to what we know today as elevator music. I'm also told that she had a vast collection of big band music and jazz. And she loved to dance. I can imagine her turning her head toward the music, intrigued by the new, loving the old, swaying to it all, so in touch with what was going on in that music. Florence was in touch with God too, listening for God's voice and seeing God in new ways. I'm really sorry that I only got to know Florence during the last year of her life. What I will always remember about Florence, though, was how, even confined to a chair or a bed, in a care facility when she wanted to be home, in a body which didn't allow her to dance anymore, that she still listened to that call of God. Her attentiveness to God was so very deep within her. And from that bed, that chair, that place, she still heard God's call to reach out and to care for and to pray for others. She heard God's final call to turn towards Him. God claims us, each and every one of us, immediately and urgently. But our lives continue in Christ as we listen, learn, turn, and respond to that call. Thanks be to God today for Florence.